The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
After plenty of anticipation and debating for weeks and weeks, last night NFL Honors finally brought the announcement of NFL MVP, and the 2024 MVP of the league is Josh Allen. Huge news for the Bills, huge news for Bills fans, and huge for Josh, obviously. It's an incredible accomplishment. Mark, what do you make of this award and the announcement?
I was surprised. You know, when I watching the start, when I found out Lamar didn't show, that was kind of, that's a tip off that it's not going his way. But I was surprised. I didn't think he would win it because the same 50 people who voted for first team all pro and voted resoundingly in favor of Lamar voted for the MVP. So obviously a lot of voters decided to split the baby in half and give one of them, you know, gave Josh the MVP, even though they voted Lamar first team all pro. I'm not quite certain if you're the MVP, how you're not first team all pro, but I guess I don't necessarily, I mean, have a problem with that. I think, it is a little odd, but it's justice. Probably they both were great, and maybe it's justice that they both get this, you know, big honor, and Josh gets the biggest honor, and I think it's justified. Obviously, I cover the Bills, but that's not why. I take pride in the fact I can look at these things objectively, and you know, Baltimore had eight Pro Bowlers and the Bills had two, and Baltimore had six all pros and the Bills had one. So I mean, Josh had to do more with the cast around him.
Yeah, it was a 4-vote difference for first place of Josh getting 27 votes, if I'm remembering correctly, and Lamar 23. Yes. I did hear from a voter that was saying that they did approach it a little differently of MVP, most valuable player, that's different to your team, and that had to do with supporting cast and stuff like that. But, you know, what an honor for the Bills. Did get a chance to briefly catch up with Brandon Bean, who was saying how it is so special for this team. But I think just kind of, you know, Josh Allen was saying himself of how he views it as a team award. I thought it was really cool that Deion Dawkins got to help present it to him, announcing, you know, why he is a nominee. And, you know, seeing his family really emotional. Our colleague Ryan O'Halloran caught up with Josh's parents. So make sure you're looking for his MVP story for more details from Josh's parents, from Sean McDermott, from Brandon Bean. But, you know, a really cool moment on one of the biggest stages of Super Bowl week.
Yeah, and no doubt. I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, how many Buffalo pro sports stars have won major MVP awards? Okay, I still count the AFL. So Cookie Gilchrist won in 1962. Jack Kemp won in 1965. O.J. Simpson won in 1973 when he had 2,000 yards. Bob McAdoo won the MVP for the Buffalo Braves in 74-5, I believe. Thurman Thomas won it in the 1991 season. And Dominic Hasek won it twice in the NHL in the late 90s. So this makes eight with Josh. And I kind of buy that. I'll accept that rationale from the voter you talked to. And I think that's reflective of a bunch of voters, obviously, because they split the vote, their vote, that the MVP is maybe a little different than first-team All-Pro. So.
Josh,
again, I don't know how you look at the Ravens nothing against Lamar. He was great, but I don't know how you look at the Ravens roster and look at the Bills roster and say Josh didn't do more with less than Lamar had. And if Bills fans are on social media and they interact with Ravens, fans just say, hey, look, well, let's trade our rosters. We'll trade the whole roster right now today. Just switch the whole roster. Are you doing that? And I bet the Ravens answer is no.
A big thing I saw on social media that I really enjoyed was people loving the end of the speech, the be good, do good, God bless, go Bills, and saying they're making that their email signature. Huh. They want that on t-shirts. I see that as like a tattoo even for our most passionate fans in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But it was just the speech was very true to Josh. If you had asked me before NFL honors what I thought was going to happen, I wouldn't really know who was going to win MVP. I was, you know, just based off the AP voting for All Pro, it was a little surprising, but I will say I was not surprised that he ended his speech with Go Bills. That was the easiest bet of all.
Yeah.
So a really cool night for Josh and, you know, everyone around him.
Okay, Catherine, you have been in New Orleans all week as part of our three-person team in New Orleans with Jay Skursky and Ryan O'Halloran, and I am certain that we are the Buffalo News is the only paper our size that has three reporters at the Super Bowl. We've been doing lots of great Bills-related angles all week, and I'm sure our loyal readers have been following them. All three of you. Catherine, why don't we just say, you know, kind of paint the scene. What has it been like in New Orleans, a great city, this week?
Yeah, it's a city I really love, so I was excited to get back here. I think this weekend I'll have a taste of a little bit more of just a chance to get outside the convention center a bit. Coming to you live from my hotel room right now. But, you know, it's something I love is seeing how the host city, you know, decorates and embraces the Super Bowl and what they plan. And New Orleans is such a place that celebrates in general that it's been really cool to see their approach to the Super Bowl. You know, from just a day-to-day perspective, it is long days of the practices or the availability. We're not able to watch practice, mm-hmm. but the media availability for the two teams is early in the morning. But then there's a chance to do so many other events. NFLPA has their annual press conference here, where the Players Association was talking about, like, you know, what they're looking for as a union.
Right. They don't players don't support an 18-game season. That's a whole separate subject. Keep going.
Separate subject, but mm-hmm. I agree with them. Mm-hmm. Other press conferences, like Next Gen Stats, also hold press conference where they talk about data from the year. So there's a lot of media chances outside just the two teams here themselves.
Okay, so then, yeah. let me fire some important questions at it.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been doing some great postcards from New Orleans. you wrote about the king cake, which is a New Orleans delicacy. Is it like a bundt cake?
No, there's a little more cinnamon in it and a lot of icing with like purple, green, yellow sprinkles for Mardi Gras. Sometimes the cake is like fully purple, green. Yellow. I need to get more.
Did you eat it?
I've had small samples so far.
Do you recommend it?
I love it.
Okay.
I wish I could show you one because I had one on my desk here, but I ate it last night when I got home. But it comes with a small baby inside it.
What does that mean?
A plastic baby like this big. Yeah. That's part of the tradition of a king cake is it has the little plastic baby in it.
Okay. All right. Now, Bourbon Street, Mardi Gras. I'm not a big fan of Bourbon Street. I love New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans is one of the top five restaurant towns in America, hands down, probably top three.
Incredible food.
I think Bourbon Street is a little overrated, especially if you're over 30 years old, but that's just me. Mardi Gras, Bourbon Street, and a three-peat arita you wrote about. What is a three-peat arita?
Yeah, so they have the media party usually on the Tuesday night of Super Bowl week. And they had all these stations with different New Orleans food, New Orleans drinks. There was live music at different, like there were three bands going at once, but not like audibly overlapping. But at one of the stations, they had slushies. Here's my cup. Because I can still get free refills around the city with it.
Okay. And it's a margarita.
So the three-peat arita was a margarita for Kansas City, obviously. And then Fly Pina Fly was a pina colada for the Eagles.
Okay. All right. Restaurant. Did you have you had like a shrimp, like barbecued boiled shrimp is awesome in New Orleans. Had any shrimp?
I've had shrimp for sure. I had grilled shrimp though. I haven't had barbecue yet. I went to a place called Beggar's Banquet with a friend who also covers the NFL, and we had an incredible
Rolling Stones. Some people go ahead. Keep going. Yes, it was a Rolling Stones album. You don't know that, but I'm giving you the feed. Go ahead, Catherine.
Split some fried green tomatoes and then shrimp and gnocchi. And it was so good.
Oh, great. Okay. How about a story? What stories do you have a story coming up this weekend in previewing of the game, or what can you say about that?
Yeah, my game previews on Saquon Barkley. He's been delightful to talk to, and just hearing from his teammates about kind of, I was talking to his running backs coach, Jamal Singleton, and he was saying how Saquon brings such a joy to the team. And I think that's, you know, especially late in the season is so important, but it's been cool seeing how he's done that in his first year with the Eagles.
Okay.
And obviously he is a force on the field. So diving into that a little bit for the game preview, which will be in Sunday's paper.
I have some just to heads up to readers. I've got three sort of big picture overview stories on the Bills season, offense, defense, and Josh Allen focus that are somewhat analytics based. The offense leads with the success of the running game. It's interesting, the Bills were number one in the NFL in rushing with three wide receivers on the field, sort of spread out, most efficient by efficiency numbers, number one. And when they brought six offensive line on the field, they were number one doing that too. So the running end, and I dive into a lot of that and some other elements of the Bills offense. The defense story, one interesting thing is the Bills had a very much a boom bust run defense. They gave up the ninth most big play runs, 10 or more yards, but they were number one in run stuff. So runs of 0 yards or tackles for loss, they were number one in the league. But big play runs, they were ninth worst. That's an element of the defense story. And then Josh Allen, one element that we just take for granted, I think, watching the Bills is his ability to avoid negative plays is unbelievable. Better this year than ever. Obviously, we've written a lot about his avoiding interceptions, but his sack, he avoided sacks better statistically than any quarterback in the NFL the last 16 years. So those are three stories we got going. Along with all of our reporting from New Orleans.
It's a series from you, Mark, I always really look forward to, so I know our listeners are going to love it as well. There is still a football game this week. I know there are Bills fans who are not watching it. I know there's a bar that is showing Josh Allen highlights during it, as well as the Puppy Bowl.
Yes.
But either way, Kansas City is playing Philadelphia for the Super Bowl title. Mark, let's dive into this game a little bit. Just what are some things you're watching for?
Yeah, I know more Bills fans who are not watching than who are watching, personally. Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing that I am most interested to see in this game, Philadelphia has number one ranked defense in the NFL. They're number one in the NFL against the pass. They're number three on third downs. The Bills were 24th against the pass, 29th on third down. Obviously, we know Kansas City put up 32 points on the Bills. Can the Eagles shut down Kansas City? And what does it say about the Bills? How does the Eagles' defense look compared to how the Bills' defense look? That's the number one thing I'm watching for. If the Eagles, I suppose you could say if the Eagles shut them down or hold them to 24 or less, that will be discouraging because, man, the Bills defense has a ways to go. You know, it's just the Bills look bad in comparison. But I'd say it's encouraging because at least they can be shut down. If the Eagles don't shut down Mahomes and they put up 30 points on the number one defense in the NFL, it's like, what hope is there? Are you ever stopping them? And should the Bills adjust their roster building with that in mind? If Kansas City puts up 34 on the number one defense, maybe the Bills should just say, screw it. We're never drafting another defensive player. To heck with defense. Let's just load up on offense and try to score 40 because it's impossible to shut Kansas City down in the playoffs. So that's an obviously hyperbole a little bit. But how does the Eagles defense look compared to the Bills defense?
It's a really fun matchup, I think. I'm looking at some of my notes from, like I mentioned last segment, I went to the Next Gen Stats meeting earlier this week, and it's got like Eagles versus Kansas City, kind of how they match up against each other. And it was noting how Kansas City has had more explosive play rate in the postseason than in the regular season, going from 10.6% to 16.8% of explosive plays. But the Eagles, meanwhile, have the lowest explosive play rate allowed in the regular season. So there are some really fascinating ways how these two teams match up, Kansas City leaning into the quick game, but the Eagles being quick against that too. So I think it's a really fascinating matchup on that side. Let's switch to Kansas City defense, Eagles offense. What are you looking for there?
Kansas City had a good run defense this year. Top 10. You know, obviously stopping Saquon Barkley is number one. I am not confident that if Kansas City contains the run, I am not confident that Jalen Hurts will scorch the Kansas City Steve Spagnuolo's defense. I mean, he did do it in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Hurts was great against the Chiefs a couple of years ago. So, you know, obviously containing Barkley is the first thing you have to do. It'll be very interesting to see how Spagnuolo does. It'll be interesting to, Jalen Hurts is not in Josh Allen's class. Josh Allen had, if you look at the Chiefs defense, Josh Allen had the two best days of the year against the Chiefs defense. The Eagles have great receivers. It's a fascinating matchup on that side.
Kansas City also has the lowest missed tackle rate this season, and that's going to be so huge with Saquon.
Buffalo too. Tackled great against Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to some guys on the Eagles offensive line about that. They know that Kansas City is so stout in that they need to be ready, and just kind of see what happens. But, you know, I talked again to, the running backs coach of the Eagles, Jamal Singleton, and he was saying how like he's seen teams just kind of give up on things they've planned because Saquon Barkley has been so effective so quickly against some of their defensive schemes. Now, you know, Staggs is obviously a different beast there and just his way that he dials up everything. But I think, you know, both sides of the ball, it's a really fascinating matchup. So we will have coverage from the game for y'all. Again, Jay, Ryan, and I are all here and we'll be at it. But then also we'll dive right in next week to Mark's analytics-based review of the Bills season. So there is so much to read on BuffaloNews.com. Make sure you're checking out all of our stories there and then keep listening for our podcast online as well.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations. Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.